Raymond, and you're listening to a special Changemakers collaboration with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the travel club for hotel lovers. Over the course of this series, we're going to be spotlighting some of the world's most innovative, inspiring, and sustainable hotels and the partnerships and double acts behind them. My guests today are Pascal Lauber and Ulrika Bashka, the creators of Paragon 700, the boutique hotel and spa in the heart of Ostini in Puglia, Italy. Both with a background in design, Ulrika and Pascal have lovingly and painstakingly restored every inch of Paragon 700, which is a 17th century palace that has stood empty for more than 40 years. And with this grand design, they have created one of Europe's most exciting and dynamic boutique hotel experiences. It has a mission to be better for the world, employing local tradespeople, serving homegrown and locally sourced organic produce, operating with low emissions energy, and it prides itself on being fully plastic free. To tell us more, Ulrika and Pascal, welcome to Changemakers.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Great to have you. I think what we want to do is to bring this extraordinary destination to life for the benefit of listeners. Ulrika, what's the weather like today? What's going on?
I think you are better in London. We have like 38 degrees since a week and we are starving. I mean, it's terribly hot, but I think it's perfect for a day at the beach. Why not at Paragon with the aircon?
Paragon with the aircon. Yeah, I mean, it feels like this sort of fabulously romantic, wonderful place, this ancient Palazzo Rosso, I believe is the original name of the place. But let's talk a little bit about bringing it to life, the feel, the structure. Pascal, you've been very much involved in the design. Introduce it to us, introduce it to listeners.
Well, I will start that I always say it's the Palazzo, it was Palazzo Tanzarella, which was the first mayor of Ostuni. So the structure has been always very important for Ostuni. And as you said, it was for over 40 years standing like an old said lady, abandoned. And well, we brought it to life. For us, it was like a first love at first sight. And I always say from the outside, it's like I like a Palazzo Nobili. But when you're in, once you arrive and in the garden, we have like the biggest private garden in Ostuni, which is 1,700 square meter with the only swimming pool as well. You feel like you're in the countryside. You know, in Puglia, you have all these masserias where you can stay, but they are far away. The good thing is we have a private secure parking. People can come, leave the car, stay in the garden, feeling like in the countryside. But at the same time, they are 5 minutes walking distance from the main piazza where they can explore the city. I mean, we have the beautiful cathedral from the 13th century. There are many things to do, even by foot.
But it was only ever intended to be a holiday destination for you both. I was reading that actually you hadn't sort of come to Puglia to think about creating a business. And I read here that amidst the food, wine, culture, sea and countryside, a passion project was discovered. Tell us a little bit about the passion project.
Yeah, I think every project for me, it's a passion. Every project is different. And what actually, when I see something, I can imagine what we can do. It's always like taking the story, everything from the country where we are, because we did project worldwide, and making a bit more contemporary and feeling like home. I never do one project the same than the other one. I like to work a bit.
What makes this project special to you? Because it really feels like it's captured your heart, this one.
Yeah, this one is, I think it's also because it's the last one. I think it's one of the one I made the more passion and everything, because it's really, it came out more or less exactly like I imagined when I entered the Palazzo.
First time. And it's like what people say when they enter here, they feel like they're transported in somewhere else. It's like a journey back in time.
Yes, I mean, I was reading a Forbes piece about it, saying that it felt like not only a preservation, but also a celebration of the building and its history, but also with the redesign having just something that brought it into this year in terms of actually how you've tried to reflect, I guess, Puglia's culture, contemporary culture, alongside an ancient culture? What have been the design inspirations, would you say?
I would say for me, the design, it's not only putting some furniture in place. You have to feel and live with everything. It means you take also all the material and everything and you mix a bit with something. For me, it's very difficult to explain because it's something I just like feel it. You know, it's like I think
the spirit.
You know, the spirit, and also I think you know Linus in Snoopy when he pulled his
blanket.
And I got something I pull, and suddenly I said, "That's it. It's coming here."
I didn't think that I would hear you say that Snoopy was a design inspiration for the hotel. But I'll tell you what, I love Snoopy when I was growing up. So tell us about the guests, because you're receiving guests. I mean, what sort of people are coming in to the hotel? Who likes it? Who are the lovers of the new generation for the Palazzo?
But I think the people are coming a bit everywhere. I think what they like the most in general, everything, but it's more the sense of details. Mm. You can spend the day to the structure and you're always going to see something different because all the details, I made until the detail. And also when I do concept, it's not about doing renovation. It's a total concept. It's come from the first stone, the story, until the way of the barman move or everything, the kitchen. It's not only one point, it's from A to Z. Mm.
And it's not only one person. We have a great team for us. The gouvernante, I mean, the people who so cleaning the rooms, or the chef, or the one who the washing the dishes, or whoever. For us, we are all on the same level and we all working together. Sometimes if maybe someone has to carry a bag, the specific person is not available, then it comes our Kuram, our dishwasher, and brings the luggage up to the rooms. And when the guests arrive in the room, everything is already in place. So we all giving a hand to each other.
Mm. So like, I think that story of the community and actually how you source products locally, that kind of circularity that does come across. But before we leave, I guess the design, I'd like to try and bring to life for listeners the kind of the design ethos in terms of what they can expect, because, you know, it strikes me that this has been one part a project of passion and love to actually take something that had been, you know, sort of stood empty for quite some time. But it's also been one where you have been really painstakingly working on the detail and working on really sort of fine tuning certain touches. I mean, what would you draw out to bring it to life, would you say?
To life, I think it's the choice of the colors also, and the pieces, because we are by passion. We visit antique fairs here. We are lucky we have also smaller local antique markets, and now we were recently in Paris. We go to different antique markets, and we just, if we see one specific piece, because we think it's special, we purchase it, even without knowing where it gonna end up. And then that's what we did for this project. I mean, years before, or a long time before, we had many pieces. They were in one of our storerooms, and we knew one day they gonna end up somewhere on the specific spot, and that it makes it very eclectic, because it's one, we have a chandelier from Thailand, and from north of Italy. The sofas have been custom made in South Africa, where the fabrics also come from. Then our one masterpiece is, it's like a boma, it calls in South Africa, where you sit around in the bush to do a fire. It's a huge iron ball, and we put inside a resina, which is like a sealer, and made a box out of it.
But also, I think, you know, when you design, it's all you put the When we buy furniture never finished like it used to be. I mean, it's like you give them another life. You know, to do design, you have to give life also to objects.
Yes.
To give them another way to express them.
And to live on. And live on. It sounds extraordinary to the kind of eclectic mix that you've brought together. Now, talking of eclectic mixes, let's talk about you two, because this series is about the double acts, the partnerships that create these extraordinary destinations. Now, you've both worked together on many projects in the past. Let's talk about who does what. How does the relationship work? I guess, Pascal, let's hear it first from your perspective in terms of the relationship, the partnership. How does that manifest itself?
Yeah, I think we just, because we are different, we just make the a bit, or maybe Ulrike, she make me a bit borderline when I go too far. And in a crazy idea. And I'm really, for me, the design, it's a passion. Means for me, when I see object, I can see already when it's going to end. And Ulrike, she maybe put everything more to make it work at the end.
Pascal, that sounds like a great position to be in. So you've got crazy ideas. Ulrike, you've got to make them happen.
But that's why normally she's not allowed to come in the building. So she comes at the end to make it work.
Shout out, no, I anyway.
I guess that brings you to a really nice central point in terms of the passion and the practicality, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, I mean, if you want to make a business out of it, it's not only the fun part, there are also all the administration thing, you know, all what you need to operate, the software, all the which company to choose to join, and all the marketing, all these things, it's the other part.
Fun part is also a lot of work. Yeah?
A lot of work.
They always think they are working a lot, and we are making joke on the building side, but it's not true. But I have a lot of fun, I have to tell you.
Well, I think having a lot of fun. I mean, I work as part of a partnership as well, and I always think about, you know, what would I have been if I tried to do it just on my own? And I always think I would be half the person. So enriching, I think, out of great double acts, great partnerships. How do you think you've both changed over the years in terms of the influence on one on the other? Because, you know, it strikes me that at its core, one of you stands on the kind of right, I'm the person that gets it done, and I'm the person that has these dreams about what might be possible. Do you feel that, Pascal, you've become more on kind of Ulrika's side, and Ulrika more on Pascal's side over the years because you both influence each other or not? Come on, Ulrika, you've got a chance to come back in on that.
And I have to stay calm now.
I think staying calm might sound as the key to a great working partnership. Now, one of the things I really love reading about was the sustainable ethos of the business that you're building. It sounds and it reads like it's very important to everything that you do. Tell us why.
Yeah, because I think also, I mean, having had our first business in a small town with 4,000 inhabitants, you have to make not only work your own business, you have to contribute to the others. I mean, like, that's why we like to maybe pay a bit more for our products in the kitchen, because we want to work with local producers. And then about the hotel itself, I always say, if I travel, even if I pay 1,000 euro for a room, it doesn't mean that I want now my linen to be changed every day. I don't change my linen every day at home. Why should I do it in a hotel only because I paid a certain amount of of money. I think then rather all the waste of water and else. And the same is also we choose an amenities line, not in this small packaging, because it's again more plastic, and then people take it away. I mean, you have to produce more. That's why we opted to the fill up pumping things of a biological and organic line.
So I suppose my question is, it feels like the environment is personally important to you both in terms of making a contribution. Do you feel that this is becoming a guest demand now? Do you see that in the future this is the sorts of hotels that travelers from around the world are going to want to see, those that do have that love of the planet, that conscientious and hardworking environment, which actually makes the difference in terms of how you source, how you look at packaging? Do you think that this will become a major part of your pitch to the market for the traveler that comes to see it?
Yeah, I'm sure
more and more. Like before, this five star, when they change your linen every day and said it's ridiculous, you don't do it at home. And also, one of the biggest problems, because we were living also in South Africa, it's going to be the water. And if you don't look after water, plastic, whatever. And for me, for example, the lockdown, you could see the difference with the light and the animals and the people when we it was no human around. Means there's we are the problem, actually. And if we don't think about everything, and I think more and more people, they start to take care of the planet, because like one says, there is no planet B. We destroyed, and I think we are more and more looking after the where we are living.
But I suppose, I mean, you mentioned South Africa, which has had a dreadful drought. Italy has had the same experiences. And I suppose on one level, you can understand that people will feel a responsibility maybe to be more environmentally conscious. But I suppose as hoteliers, as designers, as people that are crafting luxury experiences for the future, how do you make people feel good about the fact that actually you are making that difference? You are doing things by making the choice to come to a hotel like you. Is that a kind of a message you think that you can work with?
Yeah, I think it's more to make people understand. Like we always, there's this sentence everybody or hotels like to use, to feel at home. But it's also feel at home in the sense and do it like you are at home. I mean, don't expect things. It's of course you pay for something, but it's also that's maybe more in the service which you pay, and but then also it's just the different, and just to make you feel you're traveling even more, because you're in a place which is different to home, and then also to make them realize that it's not only about the place, it's also you should also live the area around you. I mean the where you go on holiday, because here it's, I mean, we have olive trees, they are 3,000 years old, there are sculptures, and this one we have to preserve as well, because like to the south, more to Lecce, they are all with the Exilia, this illness that we have, and we hope that it won't come more towards north, because it's a disaster, and this means it comes from something.
Now, I know that COVID-19 caused dreadful consequences for you in terms of delays and all sorts of challenges in terms of living through the pandemic. When you look at the future in terms of how this experience has changed your worldview, changed your view about what comes next, what would you share with people?
To be honest, we have been in a being here actually in Puglia, it's different than maybe to someone who had to stay in a small apartment to be locked up. We have been very grateful we could stay in the countryside where we were outside. So it's maybe we have a different vision because we could really continue living apart. What were the most thing we were missing was the social life.
The social life. Pascal, what does it do to the creative's mindset, to the designer's mindset? Do you think you'll be designing things differently because of what we're living through? Or do you think actually we're going to get back to doing things the way we were before you know it?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, this pandemic didn't change really my life in sense of, I didn't wait for the COVID to change my way to live. We still have to look at the planet, see a bit the people they relax. We have to live a bit more respect. And for design, I would say, we have to maybe design more with what we've got, not create all these plastic things or change. Or I'm not, of course, we have aircon or something, but I'm not for this over technology. You know, when you...
So it's more rustic.
No, I wouldn't say rustic, but we've got very nice prime material in the world without changing too much. We have to live where we are and stop destroying everything. I mean, design is not creating something that doesn't exist. Design is creating something, objects with, like I said before, you give them life and you are in and you feel like... comfortable, you know, when you create a chair, when you can sit more than 30 seconds, I don't know what is the point. No, we have to be somewhere when you are relaxed and you enjoy life.
I love it. Now, unfortunately, our time is almost up, but I just want to take this opportunity before we do say say ciao, is to both work globally. You've both seen lots of different things, lots of different projects, but you've traveled a lot. A lot of our listeners are thinking about how do we travel well in the future? What are the tips? What's the advice that travelers would share? What's the secret of traveling well, Ulrika, from your perspective? And then Pascal, last word to you.
Well, it's actually contradictory for what we said before, because unfortunately to travel far, which many people want, you have to take the airplane. It's not eco-friendly way of traveling, or maybe just many people, you know, they even don't know their own country. I see now I get newsletters. I mean, I discovered places you have in the UK. I never even heard about it. I said, actually, you have everything what you need in your own country. But of course, it's not also good for our business to say so. But you can even by traveling by car, even a car is doing pollution, but maybe not with the...
But maybe what we take out of that, Ulrika, is that it's not air miles, it's mindfulness that's actually going to be the, you know, being present, being aware. Because you're right. I mean, a lot of people have had a renaissance about their own countries, but they will still want to go to other places. But maybe it's done differently, Pascal. What's your view on the art of traveling well?
Yeah, I think if you want to travel well, you have to, for me, I would say I would go and travel with comfort and where I want to go and do, because traveling, it's like most of the people, it's holiday. Means if you have to absolutely go somewhere and rush around to do, I went to Japan, I went to the, I don't know what is the point. Traveling well, it's a right time to the good place and enjoy this part, because it's part of the people, they got the souvenir, no?
Yeah.
It's like traveling, I don't know what is the media of the holiday of the people, but at least instead of to say to everybody, I went to this place, and after at the end, they went to a camping and to the in middle of millions of people, choose the right place, the right country, Enjoy the life as much as you can. Take some picture, keep in your eyes, and come back home. And also walk around in Europe. We have fantastic space as well.
A fantastic space and enjoying life. I think that's a great place for us to sort of end this part of our adventure together. I have to say, it's such a pleasure to speak to great sort of double acts, great teams, partnerships. And it's been so funny because obviously what listeners won't have is the vantage points I've got, which is our screen where we can see each other. But seeing how you've been looking at each other as the answers have been flying backwards and forwards, it's been wonderful. It's wonderful to see that kind of dynamic. And you can really see how this very, very special partnerships work. So Ulrika and Pascal, thank you so much for joining me. That has been the story of Paragon 700. It's been an absolute pleasure.
We hope to welcome you one day.
I'm sure. I'm sure I will find my way. It sounds too good not to, but I'm sure, crucially, lots of Mr. and Mrs. Smith travellers will be on their way to see you.
And we see you more than 25 minutes on average.
Deal. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Changemakers with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And you can find out more about the Smith Hotels collection at mrandmrssmith.com, where listeners to this podcast can enjoy a special £30 discount off any of these extraordinary hotels with the voucher code Changemakers. That's the voucher code Changemakers for £30 off any Smith Hotel. Thanks for joining us. Changemakers is brought to you by the campaigns firm Seven Hills and presented by me, Michael Heyman. Pure Being is the name of our soundtrack, and it's written and performed by the brilliant BT Wolf. To find out more, head over to changemakers.works, and if you like what you hear, why not give us a rating?